be heard.
Is the machine stable, priest?
Krell didn't look up, still bent over his initiation lectern.
As stable as it ever is, a venerable space marine.
That is hardly reassuring.
Gidriel reviewed the tactical upload via his helmet visor one last time. Master Belial's briefing had been succinct. Teleport into the vaults of Morkai's Keep ahead of the first of the two strike forces and secure a beachhead for them. Once they had linked up, the Terminators would spearhead the attack up into the Keep proper, facilitating the access of the second strike force. It would be over in no more than an hour, Emperor willing.
Brethren, sound off.
Malak here.
His Terminators responded in turn, their voices stoic. Krell raised his ignition hammer, vice hands clamped around its adamantium haft. Gidriel prepared himself, sealing his helmet in place.
In the name of the Omnisire,
fury and blood.
Krell struck the great activation rune. Darkness. Cold. Teleportation was instantaneous, yet in the depths of the warp, such a concept did not exist. The bone bite of interstellar chill pierced him to his core. He felt something writhing over the ceramite of his left greave, sticking and sucking. Inhuman laughter cackled in his ears, and his stomachs churned with plunging sensations. And then he was standing in a chamber of hard-packed ice, a demon's horned skull grasped in his power fist.
Lion, preserve me.
It was called mind displacement, and it was a rare and dangerous anomaly. Gidriel had heard Krell explain it once, when he'd still been a young 10th Company initiate. Sometimes, the mind lagged behind its body during teleportation, returning to full consciousness a split second after the rematerialization of the physical form. It was an unusual and potentially fatal event, typically indicative of a teleport miscarriage. Some fragment of Gidriel's consciousness, honed by over four centuries of war, had reacted instinctively in the brief moment when his mind had been elsewhere. He clenched his fist, activating its disruptor field with a thought impulse. The demon's skull disintegrated in a burst of ichor, and its corporeal form flickered from existence with a horrible wail. For a terrible moment, as the demon vanished, even the veteran Terminator hesitated. Of the brethren that should have flanked him, there was no sign. The combat sigil on his visor display was alone, a solitary green blip surrounded by flashing crimson.
Squad, come in. What is your current location? Report.
Nothing. He switched channels, trying to establish a link back to the flagship.
Calling the Emperor's first. This is Brother Sergeant Gidriel. Respond.
Still nothing. He was alone. Around him, a sea of twisted faces reared up out of the darkness, screaming for his soul. The tunnel was not a tunnel at all, not anymore. Sections of the white ice undulated and shimmered as though viewed through a heat haze. Weirdlings sprang from the disturbances, allowing their glamours to slip as they revealed themselves. The air was suddenly thick with their unnatural, pervasive stench.
Weapons!
Redblade unclamped his multi-melter, Fobane, from its maglock harness and triggered its reaction core. His heavy backpack began to throb as the pyrum fuel compound within was forced into a submolecular state. The weapon's charge indicator flashed green. A crash behind him signaled the closing of the trap. He turned in time to see the tunnel back the way they'd come, collapsing, tons of glacial ice slamming down without warning on the strike force's rearguard. Sergeant Micker and his Dark Angels simply disappeared without a sound, replaced by a tumbling wall of jagged white. Sferi shouted over the vox.
It's a trap! Into them, blood claws! Strike into them!
The first weirdling's claws raked off Redblade's pauldron, scarring his company livery. The things were materializing from the very walls of the tunnel, sliding through the buckled reality of the Keep's depths with spiteful contempt. Redblade knew instinctively that they could not match them. Still, he fought, a battle cry on his lips.
For the Grimbloods, And the old father!
The weird spawn was a she-monster, a thing of bared lilac flesh and crab-like talons. It moved like a dancer, flickering through the air with scant regard for natural rules. And when it struck Redblade, it did so with a force that belied its slender, shapely frame. Its claws tore the ceramite from Redblade's pauldron and punched all the way to his black carapace, splitting the crimson Fenrisian runestone set into his breastplate. The demonette hissed.
I never killed a wolf so old and slow. You're dead, Primer. Thank me for ending your pathetic misery.
Go back to your hell pit, weird scum!
The thing was so damned fast, he was forced to keep it at bay using Fobane's bulk with one hand, slipping his other down to Fang's frayed krakenhide grip. It was trying to get at his exposed face, to tear the flesh from the skull so it could bring him down quickly and begin to feast. That was its only mistake. In more than 3 centuries of combat, Dren Redblade had learned how to defend himself.
Die, Temptress!
He kicked the weirdling. It said much of the thing's nightmarish abilities that it was almost able to dodge the sudden move. Almost. Redblade's bionic left knee crashed into its thigh. There was an audible crack, and the she-weird faltered. Fang took it in the throat, sending it hissing back into nothingness. Sweet-smelling pink blood coated the blade, running like syrup down the long Fang's leg as he gripped Fobane once more. He clicked through the vox channels.
Come on, this is Redblade. The tunnels are a trap. Repeat, the tunnels are a trap. The secondary strike force must not proceed.
There was no response.
Rust, damn it!
Around him, his brethren were dying. Svensson, saga hero of Morlach, was already gone. 2 of the creatures pinning him against the ice wall, while a third slipped a needle-like dagger through each of his armor seals, working up into his guts. Wolf and Torburn still fought, heavy weapons discarded in favor of their blades. Obber was on his knees, blood gouting from where another weirdling had clamped its crab claws around his exposed throat.
Obber!
Redblade threw himself at his brother's attacker, a snarl of rage on his lips. The weirdling sensed his coming and darted back with preternatural gracefulness. Obber slumped forward, blood slicking the ice red as Redblade punched Fang towards the weirdling. It ducked and wove, claws flashing out to rake Redblade's plate and clang from Fobane's cowl. A heavy multi-melter protected much of his torso, but it also impeded him. The she-weird's claws drew blood, punching through his left elbow seal, finding the weakness behind the vambrace.
Redblade, get back!
Torburn slammed into the thing, shoulder first, all pretense of poise gone. The creature tried to dodge, but found itself pressed into the melee and snagged by one of Torburn's outstretched arms. He slammed the creature into the ice with all his transhuman strength. There was a snap. The weirdling struggled, hissing. He slammed his body into it again, and it finally went limp and flickered into oblivion. Redblade had unclamped Fobane again, hunting for clear targets. There were none.
Command! Come in! Command! Respond! Rust take you all!
The tunnel was packed with writhing, stabbing, struggling figures. Sferi's claws had been set upon by a cohort of red-scaled swordlings. Their black hellblades parted the Space Wolf's battleplate as easily as razors slicing sun-parched vellum. The air was thick with bursts of blood and the steam of warm, opened innards.
We can't stay here!
Sferi's reply came from somewhere in the press of bodies.
Can't go back!
He was right. The collapse that had crushed the Dark Angels had also sealed them in, closing off their route to the surface. Redblade turned Fobane towards the wall nearest to him and activated the multi-melter's fire counter.
I will open a path.
He kept his finger on the trigger, letting the fusion reaction within build until the weapon was vibrating in his grasp. After a few seconds, it spat its charge. A focused beam of infernal temperature struck the ice wall. There was a roar before a flush of heat blasted down the tunnel, followed by a cloud of superheated steam. Redblade grunted and turned, shielding his face, feeling the outer layers of his power armor blistering. Through the hissing clouds, he picked out a hole bored through the ice, its edges pouring with meltwater. Beyond was darkness.
Torben! Wolf!
He turned to see both warriors grappling with more weirdlings. There was a cracking sound, and a great chunk of ice fell from the ceiling, crunching down into the melee. More followed. Redblade spoke into the box.
Ferry, we must go!
There was no reply. Swordlings were butchering the last of the young Bloodclaws, attacking them from all sides, skewering them with burning black steel. Torburn slammed his blade into a weirdling's throat.
You go, Tren! Now!
Redblade took half a step back towards his packmates, mouthing a curse. Before he could go further, there was a crash. The wall immediately above Wolf and Torburn collapsed, a sheet of solid ice plunging down on the warriors and forcing Redblade back. More of the tunnel started to come down. The remaining weirdlings clawed through the plummeting sheets, hissing at him. Redblade threw himself through the hole, melted by Phobane. A moment later, and the remains of the tunnel collapsed with a sound like thunder, burying wolves and weirdlings alike. The Longfang kept his feet, panting, eyes seeking to pierce the darkness of his new surroundings. The reticules of his head-mounted targeter blinked, but found nothing. The sudden silence seemed to amplify everything, leaving his heart pounding thunderously and his breath rasping in his throat.
Brothers, come in.
He cycled through Sferi's channel. Yaris, his packmates, all were empty.
Brothers, anyone?
He tried to switch to the command channel. No connection at all.
Allfather, take this damned place!
He activated his suit lamp, and the focused beam picked out more glittering, hard-packed ice. He was in a second tunnel, lower and narrower than the first, barely large enough for an armored warrior to pass through. There was no sign of anything else in either direction. For a moment, he found himself unable to move. Auber and Svensson, Wolf and Torburn. They had all been grey hunters together, serving side by side for 2 centuries. Yari and the Quickpelts had been good scouts as well, and Sferi had been tipped for Grimblood's personal wolf guard. They all deserved better than a tomb of crushing ice. Eventually, he found he could unclench his fists, and his old instincts kicked in. He had to find a way back to the surface. The second assault could not be allowed to walk into the same trap the first had. He recalled Yari's words, that the entrance to the lower vaults had been secured. It had definitely been Yari's voice, and yet something in the message sat uneasily with him. Hackles raised, Redblade set off. Gidriel killed as he had always done, with fury tempered by a deadly efficiency. He was alone, in a chamber of sealed ice, and the spawn of the dark gods surrounded him. He wielded his power fist in great destructive arcs, moving constantly so as not to be caught from behind. Clad in tactical dreadnought armor, there was little opportunity for subtlety, and no need for it with the demons throwing themselves upon him. His clenched gauntlet flared as he swept aside a brace of throbbing flesh spawn, the actinic lightning throwing strobing nightmare shadows across the chamber. Claws and blades rained down on him. Some had already found their mark, but he fought on, bloodied and wounded, still trying to establish contact over the box.
Squad, report. What is your location?
Something had gone horribly wrong with the teleportation process. None of his warriors showed on the short-range orspace. The visor overlay of the tunnels beneath Morkai's keep showed him nothing but enemy contacts.
Emperor's first. This is Brother Sergeant Gidriel. Come in!
Still, nothing. He was going to die here, he realized. In the frozen darkness, alone. The thought itself held no fear for the Dark Angel, but it frustrated him. He had an objective to fulfill. A blade nicked the flesh of his hip, sliding up beneath his left tacit and breaking the joint seal above his thigh. The demon was obliterated a split second later by the strike of Gidriel's power fist. But even as its shriek was torn away, a hell sword jarred the battle plate along his lower back, almost cutting straight through into his spine. He spun, fist shattering the red swordling's weapon in a burst of light.
For the lion! No pity, no remorse!
And suddenly, the Dark Angel was no longer alone. Another signifier appeared on his display, flashing for his attention. It bore the snarling wolf's head crest of the Sons of Russ. The schematics put it in a tunnel directly below him, 30 yards away and closing. Gidriel acted on impulse, his reflexes long ago honed to perfection. Even as demonic warp steel and claws battered at his buckling armor, he dropped onto one knee and, disruptor field set to maximum, slammed his power fist down into the ice at his feet. The floor of the chamber split and cracked as Gidriel's gauntlet pounded through it, driven downwards with every ounce of strength in his fiber bundles and servos. He dragged his fist from the opening split and struck again and again. The ice beneath his mag boots started to give way.
Emperor, give me strength!
He smashed his fist down one last time, and the floor collapsed beneath his weight. His stomach twisted once more with a sense of dislocation. It lasted only a second before he slammed into the mound of broken ice in the tunnel below. The impact nearly drove the wind from his lungs and crushed a demon caught beneath him as they fell. He swung upwards blindly as he sought to regain his feet, pulverizing more of the demons that had tumbled through. Still more were already scrambling through the hole in the tunnel's roof. Gidriel pushed himself up, filling the corridor, servo straining, and brought his storm bolter to bear. They were still coming. Now, however, they couldn't get behind him.
By the wolf's claws.
Red Blade was 20 paces away from the collapsed section of the tunnel roof. It had come down in front of him entirely without warning, a cascade of broken ice. At first, he thought the weirdlings were trying to crush him again. Then he had seen the Terminator rise, like some primordial bone-white beast from the ocean's darkest, most frigid depths. It pulverized one of the creatures with its ignited power fist, then opened fire into the rest, scrambling down through the hole after it.
Brother, I'm with you.
The Terminator didn't respond. In the tunnel's confines, there was no way Red Blade could get past him or angle a shot to help. He wasn't even sure if the hulking Dark Angel was aware of him. He turned and crouched, scanning the tunnel back the way he'd come, lest more of the devious weird spawn should approach under the thunderous cover of the Terminator's storm bolter. Eventually, the gunfire ceased, the last of its echoes rebounding sharply away down the tunnel. By then, Red Blade had caught the warrior's scent. It was buried beneath servo oil, purity seal wax, and the metallic tang of weapons discharge, but it was familiar all the same. The warrior turned, heavy pauldrons scraping the tunnel's sides. For a moment, he stood regarding Red Blade, his claw-scarred visor unreadable, the lamplight glittering in its bloody crimson lenses.
Dren Redblade.
Zamion Gidriel. It's been a long time.
They had first met during the purging of Gosar Quintus centuries earlier. Both had been requisitioned within the Death Watch by Chaplain Orton Cassius of the Ultramarines. He had placed the Sons of the Wolf and the Lion in the vanguard of the operation against the Genestealer cult on the mining planet. Red Blade had been at the height of youthful brashness, hungry to slay, desperate to carve out a reputation. Gidriel, by contrast, was already an experienced battle brother. His temperament clashed immediately with that of the young wolf. He was stoic, thoughtful, and secretive. He'd been the perfect counterweight. Gosar Quintus had been a success. In the years that followed, Gidriel and Red Blade continued to fight side by side. In the Death Watch, Red Blade had slowly learned to curb and channel his youthful aggression. He and Gidriel had been true battle brothers, always hunting together at the fore. The last time Redblade had seen him had been on Ugluth, fighting the Shel'Tari, a vicious simian Xenos breed fallen under the thrall of the demonic entity known as the Whisper. The operation had been a failure. Three of the kill team's members, Clovis, Bray, and Carrick, had fallen. Gidriel had never admitted his mistakes. Infuriated, Redblade had challenged him to an honor duel, but Vorons, Redblade's first kill team leader, had intervened before it could take place. Even though centuries had passed, Redblade was not surprised to find that Gidriel still lived, or that he now wore the tactical dreadnought armor of his chapter's first company.
You were with the first strike force?
Aye, we were ambushed. Damned malefic car and witchery.
And you alone survived?
I did. Where are your own brothers?
Lost. The Officium Solus has been distorted. I suspect warpcraft. Our teleport miscarried and I've been able to raise no one on the Vox. Nothing but static and whispers.
The Vox net is compromised. We were trapped too easily. I suspect the weirdlings have corrupted it somehow.
We must warn the primary strike force before they begin their assault across the surface. I also recommend we take necessary precautions to stop the demon's Vox trickery.
Agreed. The Keep's reserve Vox relay station is in the second sub-control level, 15 meters almost directly above us. There we can contact the strike force or scramble the equipment so they can't be misled, as we were.
What if the Vox system has been damaged? These tunnels have been infested for weeks.
The only other way to contact the strike force would be to go to them directly, and that would mean fighting our way to the surface and then to the breaching point. Presumably going through every damn weirdling in this place along the way.
I'm surprised that wasn't your first suggestion, Redblade.
For a moment, the Space Wolf was silent. Then he smiled, a grim, fanged expression.
As I said, Gidriel, it has been a long time.
Save your idle chatter. Follow.
Redblade let out a short, sharp bark of laughter.
Oh, I missed you, Lion-san.
It wasn't long before they encountered resistance.
Plague beast ahead.
A festering Nurgle monstrosity had made its nest in the entrance to the vaults proper, the reinforced plasteel door rusting and coated with slime, the ice around it deformed with fleshy pustule growths that popped and filled in time with the creature's diseased heartbeat.
Terminating.
He hammered it with explosive bolts and pulverized its rancid remains with a single strike of his power fist, coating his white armor with a thick film of green mucus. A second blow parted the subterranean entrance to the Keep's vaults. Redblade stepped forwards.
Let me lead from here.
My armor was designed for this manner of engagement. It makes more sense for me.
I know Morkai's Keep better than whatever schematics you're going by, Dark Angel. I spent 5 years with the garrison here after returning from the Death Watch.
After Ugluth, he wanted to say. Gidriel was silent for a moment, the plague beast's remains dripping slowly from his armor. Then he nodded.
Very well. Lead on.
Redblade growled as he passed beyond the buckled doors. The lower corridors of the vaults showed the mark of the Immaterium's touch. Black blotches had spread over the plasteel walls, ceiling, and floor like mold, connected by vein-like tendons of flesh that twitched as the wolf stamped down on them.
This place stinks. Rust, preserve me.
He spat to ward off the evil that tainted the place. The air was humid and moist and filled with a faint, fly-like buzzing. Redblade felt a headache beginning to throb behind his eyes. Gidriel scanned the pulsating walls.
It's like the megavores we purged on Krus.
Knee-deep in Xenos filth, how could I forget? 50 yards further, then we take the first left.
That was when the demons struck again. They dropped from above, phasing through the solid ceiling as though it were nothing more than a figment of Redblade's imagination. They shrieked as they came on leathery, tattered wings, claws outstretched. Furies, weirdling predators, every bit as instinctive and vicious as a pack of Fenrisian wolves.
Redblade, above!
Even as he shouted the warning, Gidriel swung his fist up to meet the fury coming at him. He screeched horribly. Flesh and adamantium collided, and the creature burst apart in a spray of blazing warp meat. Another landed behind the Terminator, its claws scraping impotently at his armor. He kept his fist raised so that he had enough room to half-turn, angling his storm bolter awkwardly back down the corridor. Two more of the winged demons had come down in front of Redblade, thumping as they hit the corridor floor. The Space Wolf fired his multi-melter without hesitation. There was a roar as the body mass of the demons was vaporized explosively, filling the air with a mist of viscera.
Go back to hell!
They're still above us!
The final fury fell upon Redblade directly, claws scrabbling for purchase on his heavy pack and pauldrons, snatching at his topknot. Gidriel lunged forwards with a grunt, grabbing onto one of its bat-like wings with his fist. He hauled at it, making Redblade stagger. The wing came apart in his powered grip, but the thing held on. It squealed and dug its claws in, drawing blood from the wolf's scalp.
Gidriel!
The Dark Angel fired. The thing burst, splattering Redblade with its bolt-blasted remains. The wolf regained his balance with a snarl.
You could have just hit it.
Wait.
A scratching noise came over the Vox, a squeal of transmission code. They were getting back into range. The Vox speed was ticking again in Gidriel's ear, the signal now solid.
Come in.
Brother Sergeant, it's Malik. It's good to see you on my scope again.
Well met, brother. What's your location and status?
According to the schematics, Armory Corridor 5-5, but the whole place has been warped. I fear the demons sabotaged our teleportation strike.
Agreed. Have you made contact with the rest of the squad?
Negative, brother. We fight alone.
Yet we shall prevail. Stand by.
Gidriel looked down at Redblade.
I have made contact with another member of my squad.
Blood from the Fury's talon wounds had clotted across the Space Wolf's scalp and dried in long streaks down his face. His expression was grim.
Are you sure of that?
What do you mean?
The ambush on our strike force came following some damned Maleficarum. I suspect weirdlings mimicked the Vox signal from our advanced scouts, right down to the transmission codes and ident tags.
You believe they can do that?
I know what I heard. One of my own brothers giving us the all clear right before we were trapped. It could not have been him. He would have warned us. Besides, even if your brother has survived, we are close to the lower Vox relay. We should not deviate.
Gidriel keyed his channel to include Redblade.
I will have him link with us. Brother Malik.
There was no response.
Brother Malik, respond.
This time, he got an answer. A shriek, as though torn from the mouths of a thousand suffering innocents, burning through every one of the Vox channels. Gidriel flinched and cupped the link, his expression stony. Redblade shrugged.
Vox Tenebris, then, from here onwards. We will know the truth of it.
Very well.
It was not long before Gidriel spotted Redblade's misstep as he faltered at a bend in the corridor.
Focus.
I am focused.
It was a lie. Memories of his packmates' deaths, of their crushed, breathless screaming, flickered through his thoughts. He drove the loss from his mind. They would be avenged.
We turn here, then on for another 30 yards.
At the tunnel's end, they went right, through a set of blast doors and into the Vox Relay's service corridor. The corruption here was worse. The lumen strips flickered and twitched rhythmically. The temperature had risen again, and the wall's metal surfaces were almost completely lost beneath a latticework of hideously pulsating veins. Redblade suppressed a shudder of revulsion as his boots crushed the fleshy growths underfoot. The air stank of sour milk, and the vibrations had grown more intense. The Vox was starting to hiss with strange bursts of static, snapping in the wolf's ears like the jaws of some living creature.
Hold!
Gidriel's warning came too late. Distracted by the strange comms distortion, Redblade only noticed the floor shifting beneath them when it yawned open with a squeal of rending metal and the wet tearing of meat. His arms went out instinctively, the multi-melter dangling by its twin fusion coils, but his gauntlets grasped nothing but air. The floor swallowed them up, the flesh and metal of it all mixed together. The stench of the warp was overpowering. He was falling, falling farther than should have been possible, reality itself distending around him. He saw visions whipping past, the frozen ice tunnels, Morkai's shattered bastion walls, the barrack blocks he'd lived in so many decades before, a dark chamber filled with upright caskets. The warp was trying to rip them away from Morkai's keep, away into the depths of the Weird Realm. Desperately, Redblade lunged at the last of the spinning apparitions, his other hand going out to grasp Gidriel's portal. And everything came crashing down around him. He hit the ground with a brutal thud, rolling with the impact as best his bulky pack would allow. The servos in his armor gripped and clenched, arresting his slide, and Redblade's gauntlets found the ground. Ice, not flesh, thanks be to Russ. He stood, dragging Fobane up with him, tense and ready, just as Gidriel tumbled down onto the ice next to him. He was once again in freezing darkness. The air was colder here, untainted by the noisome, cloying humidity of the upper levels. They were back amidst the ice tunnels. The roof above was unblemished, and there was no sign of their entry through the physical form of it. It took a moment for Redblade's eyes to penetrate the shadows pressed to the edges of the chamber. The ice was not simply bare, he realized. It had been carved, the whole circumference of the room inscribed with swirling knotwork patterns. The air throbbed with power as well, thick, steaming pipes snaking their way through the hard-packed ice to the dozen upright, heavy-looking caskets that lined the patterned ice walls. The only entrances visible were two wolf-crest-embossed blast doors, each at opposite ends of the chamber. Redblade had no memory of such a place from his time serving in the keep. He glanced over at Gidriel as the Terminator hauled himself awkwardly to his feet, servos protesting. He turned, Stormbolter raised.
What is this place?
Redblade scented the air.
I don't know, but there's no hint of the weirdlings down here. Not yet, anyway.
He approached one of the upright caskets. The light of the lumen strips filtering in from the collapsed tunnel above gleamed weakly from its metal surface. As he drew closer, the Space Marine picked out more intricate knotwork engravings, covering the whole object in the same looping saga patterns that decorated the walls. He reached up to touch the image of a Fenrisian wolf, bent double, surrounded by what looked like shattered plates of power armor. The metal throbbed at his touch, vibrating through the sensitive pads of his gauntlet. He snatched his hand away. He recognized what he was looking at. Gidriel loomed behind him.
It's a stasis casket.
I know.
What does it contain?
Redblade said nothing. He knew what it contained. The knotwork spelled it out clearly enough. The saga of the lost, the heralds of Russ. Full talons beneath the wolf moon of Valdamani. They had stumbled upon, or been deliberately shown, one of the chambers housing the victims of the Space Wolf's genetic curse. Hidden even from their battle brothers, locked away until the coming of the wolf time, when the final clash between gods and men would tear the galaxy asunder. Gidriel disengaged his helmet seals, revealing his gaunt features.
Can you open it? I could, if I wanted.
I have not seen one yet.
What?
One of your mutant beasts. It's why we came to this system. To hunt them down, yet I still haven't seen one.
Redblade bristled, rounding on the Dark Angel.
What do you know of them? You know nothing. They are not beasts.
But they are mutants. And judging by this chamber, your chapter has been harboring them for far longer than you would like to admit. We believed they had only just begun to manifest, but that isn't true, is it? Your chapter has always suffered from their genetic deviancy.
Redblade turned away, and, unseen by the Dark Angel, unclamped his gauntlet seal. He drew Fang silently as Gidriel continued.
I must inform my brethren of this fact. Your guilt has been multiplied. You cannot expect such creatures not to draw the retribution of the Imperium, whether us, the Inquisition, or another chapter. To permit such flagrant genetic deviancy would be to undermine...
Red Blade tensed. Then he slid his blade across the back of his forearm, a short, sharp nick. He allowed a bead of the blood that welled up from his scarred flesh to collect on the finger of his other gauntlet, then pressed it to the gene lock set into the side of the upright sarcophagus. The data panel blinked red, then green. There was a whirring noise from within the engraved metal, followed by the thud of clamps, the hiss of decompression, and the grating of aged auto hinges. The stasis field within was still active, a gently fizzing, static-washed layer of translucent white energy. Beyond it, frozen in time, was a stricken warrior of the Wolfen. It was even taller and broader than Redblade, the musculature beneath its archaic, stripped-down power armor clearly beset by rampant genhancement overgrowth. The exposed flesh of its forearms bristled with fur, while its lower limbs were hideously back-jointed and claw-toed, like some sort of grotesque human parody of a Fenrisian wolf. Worst of all was its face, locked into an eternal, distorted snarl, canines jutting from its jaw, nose splayed, hair wild and tangled, eyes staring with feral intensity. Even braced as he had been, the lupine yellow glare made Redblade take a pace backwards. He felt Gidriel tense behind him.
So it's true. I will tell you what is true, Lion Son. The truth is that this warrior and others like him fought at the side of gods and defied demons when the Imperium was still newborn. The truth is that for 10,000 years, they have hunted the traitor, the mutant, and the weirdling without once pausing for respite, without ever counting the cost. Even here and now, they were fighting across the system to stem the tide of filth that's flooded it, before you ordered them away. I would rather have one of these brothers at my side than 10 of your secretive, shadow-skulking kind.
He hit the locking room, allowing the heavy lid to grind and clamp back into place, plunging the stasis-locked Wolfen back into his freezing tomb. Then the Vox crackled.
Brother Sergeant Ezekiel, this is Deathwing Sergeant Gidriel. The assault point has been secured. We are ready to breach at your command.
Gidriel stared at Redblade. Redblade stared back.
That was your voice. I didn't speak. You were looking right at me.
But it had clearly been his voice crackling over their Vox beads. A moment later, the voice of Sergeant Ezekiel answered the phantom message.
Praise be to the Emperor and the Primarch, honored Sergeant. We will begin the surface assault. Ezekiel out.
Gidriel immediately hit his Vox bead.
Ezekiel, this is Gidriel Actual. Come in, Ezekiel.
There was no response. The Vox had gone dead. Gidriel turned on his heel, moving towards the right-hand blast door.
I am going to the surface, otherwise they will fall into the trap.
Impossible! We don't even know where we are! They tried to drag us through a warp maw. I barely managed to get us here. There is Maleficarum at play.
Gidriel paused, replacing his helmet, and called up the tactical schematics.
This chamber was buried northwest of the relay, the opposite way from which we were approaching, almost a kilometer. The surface point to be attacked by the second strike force is closer.
But we need to end those false transmissions.
The Vox is useless to us now. It has been tainted. We cannot know that any messages we send won't be distorted. Even destroying the relay may not be enough. Our only hope is to try and reach the strike force before they're led into the trap.
Going up and fighting every step of the way will take longer than the route to the relay. Our brothers will have been slaughtered by the time you get there. At least with the Vox, there's a chance to reach them directly.
But Gidriel was moving again, following his new coordinates. Redblade snarled after him.
You're only going because you want to report the existence of these Wolfen. You're a fool, Zamion.
Gidriel didn't look back.
And you've grown old, Dread.
Even after all this time, the memory of Ugluth still made Gidriel angry. He had known all along that the pup's bloodthirsty arrogance would cost them someday. He'd told Cassius as much, repeatedly, but the Ultramarine had valued Redblade's fearsome killing power too highly. He'd believed Gidriel would always be able to rein him in before he did something as destructive as it was foolish. On Ugluth, the Dark Angel had finally failed in that duty. Red Blade had claimed he'd been in a holding position when in reality he'd struck out into the Sheltari praetors, killing with his usual mindless savagery. By the time they'd realized his true location, the kill team had been exposed. What was worse, the youth had refused to acknowledge his mistake afterwards. He'd even been arrogant enough to claim that the Dark Angel had been the one in the wrong. The warrior in Gidriel had yearned to take up the pup's boastful challenge, but he'd known his return to the Rock would be soon. He'd ignored Red Blade's yapping, and Cassius had overlooked the matter. Gidriel spoke into the Vox.
Do you remember Tyra Prime, Red Blade?
There was no reply. He continued anyway.
You nearly lost an arm, and I had to drag you by your ridiculous mane down that alleyway.
Red Blade had clearly changed over the years. The young Skyclaw would have torn towards the surface with Gidriel, damning the odds and tallying off every demonic head to add to the kill rune etchings inscribed on his vambraces. Not anymore. Despite that, the anger and the pride were still there, as well as the sharp tongue.
Or Triplex Fowl, when you and I tore apart that Harridan clipped by the flat cannons. I thought I was going to...
The Dark Angel's words were interrupted by the sound of low, guttural chanting. A vile stench reached his enhanced olfactory glands, turning his stomachs. He rounded a corner in the fleshy corridors to find himself confronted by a taliband of stooped plaguebearers. The demons turned as one to stare at him, their cyclopean, rheumy eyes wide at the sudden disturbance of their counting.
Contact!
Gidriel charged. With one mighty blow after another, the Dark Angel smashed the demons apart, their jagged, rusting blades jarring off his scarred plate. Even their unfeeling, necrotized flesh was no defense against his powerful strength. In a few moments, the warp spawn were no more, leaving him splattered in their unraveling remains. Gidriel forged upwards, through rotting stairwells thick with wobbling flesh and blinking eyes that glared at him as he passed. Terminator armor was not built for speed, but he pushed himself as hard as he was able, breaking into a lumbering run as he reached the upper corridors.
The surface is close! You were wrong to leave me, Red Blade! Just as you were wrong on Ugluth!
More demons came at Gidriel. He killed them all, snarling prayers to the Lion and the Emperor as he pulverized flesh and pounded bolts through flickering warp forms. They clawed at him, battering his arm, dragging their talons into the body beneath, bloodying the proud bone-white plate of the Deathwing. But the wounds were nothing. He pressed on, unfaltering, his thoughts bent towards his brethren in the second strike force. He had to reach them. A click in his ear arrested his implacable advance. His stride faltered as Red Blade's voice crackled over the Vox speed.
Brother, wait. You were right.
Gidriel stopped. He was at the foot of the final stair shaft before he reached the remains of the keep's inner courtyard.
The Vox relay is deserted. And Ugluth was a mistake. A terrible mistake. I was simply too young and too bold at the time to realize it.
Gidriel growled.
Your actions cost the lives of three battle brothers.
And for that I crave forgiveness, brother. I am on my way back to the surface. That's the only way we can contact the Strike Force in time. If you wait, we can break through to them together.
Gidriel cut the link.
Vox Tenebris.
The relay chamber was set out in two tiers, a mesh grill deck bisecting the Vox banks that lay at the walls of the room. The whole space was overrun with demons. Red Blade's Melter Blast vaporized the last of the weirdling spawn, packing the entrance to the fallen relay, filling the air with a mist of demonic gore. He kicked the molten remains of the blast door in. More monsters awaited him inside. The communications chamber was packed with gibbering, sightless, fleshy things that reached out with translucent claws and sucking maw holes, changeling weird flame licking from their skin. Red Blade fired again, multi-melter vibrating with fusion power. The proximity of the heat flash singed his matted beard. He snarled and fired again.
Hey, trickster filth!
Part of the nearest wall collapsed, The pale parasitic blubber that had latched itself to the plasteous surface sloughing and burning off, the metal running and falling in on itself like melting wax. Something had infested the banks lining the upper tier of the communication system. It was a great, stinking, throbbing, boneless thing that had wormed its flesh into receiver nodes and horns, the static grills and electro-sockets. It was amorphous, possessing no definable vital parts. The whole grotesque, pulsating creation fractionally shifted its grip on the Vox Bank as it felt Red Blade's attention. Nor was it alone. Another figure stood amidst the slaughtered weird flesh on the bottom floor. It was tall and gangly, a patchwork creature of sewn-together skin and scrawny, clawed limbs that bristled with blue feathers. Its eyes stared, a startling shade of pale purple. Its mouth was a yellow razor beak that clacked as Red Blade thrust through the last of its disintegrating spawn. There was something else perching on its shoulder, an impish, blue-skinned creature with short, furled wings. Its little limbs were clamped onto the meat of the bird beast's neck. A silver rune glowed brightly upon its brow. As Red Blade stalked forwards, it shrank back against the feathers of its master's neck.
Welcome, brother!
Despite the beak, the larger demon somehow bore Ober's voice. Red Blade halted abruptly.
What are you?
I am Sergeant Gidriel of the Deathwing.
The impish familiar took off, fluttering about its master's head and chittering madly.
And I am Berkeley the Sferi. And I am you, Tren Redblade, Longfang, veteran of 100 wars.
Your lies end here, trickster!
Redblade fired. The air across the relay chamber flared. The avian demon went down with a shriek. Its back-jointed right leg atomized, even the demon's unnatural powers of protection not enough to fully shield it from the multi-melter's close-range, vaporizing wrath. The little imp familiar squawked in panic as its master dropped, writhing in the demonic viscera on the floor. Red Blade maglocked Fobane and unsheathed Fang. He took the corrupt stairs up to the higher tier of Voxbanks at a run, ignoring the skittering imp. He had to get to the monstrosity physically infesting the Vox systems. He had to purge it before it could conduct any more of the trickster's lies into the heads of his wolf brothers. He stabbed into the nearest growth of flesh, cutting a tentacle and ripping it from a socket in a spray of stinking black blood. The thing reacted. Its flesh stretched and flexed, lodging itself deeper into the systems. There was a squeal and grating of static in Red Blade's ears, and what sounded for all the world like screaming. Was he already too late? Was the second strike force already under attack?
Brethren, come in! This is Drenric.
Something struck him from behind. He stumbled, turned in time to take the second blow on his pauldron, body braced and servos clenched. The feathered creature had returned, its leg re-knitted by Weirdcraft with pink, new flesh and budding feathers. The blue imp was perched atop its shoulder once more, cackling. This time, it was the familiar that spoke.
Your brothers are dying, old wolf. You cannot save them. I have made sure of that.
It dug its claws again onto its perch on the bigger demon's shoulder. The bird Weirdspawn spoke in Gidril's voice.
You will greet them all in the eternal torment of the war, Dread Red Blade.
The big demon wasn't the trickster. It was the imp, driving its will and words into its pet's skull. The monster lunged at him with a shriek, stinking of blood and filth. The force of the blow slammed him back against the fleshy abomination of the Voxbanks. He felt it squirm and slide behind him, wrapping around him, trying to pin him. The imp was cackling shrilly once more. Red Blade snarled and plowed Fang into the top of the big demon's feather-crested skull.
Rustachio!
It grappled against his breastplate with its avian talons. Red Blade stabbed again, a third time, and then a fourth, a howl building in his throat. Then Torburn's voice crackled over the vox.
Dren! Help us! Wolf and I are buried! Please, Don't leave us here!
The memory of his pack brothers, lying trapped and crushed beneath the ice, clawed at him. The blue imp giggled madly, pointing.
No! You are not real!
Redblade ripped Fang down, through flesh and bone, and cutting open the greater demon's beak. The voices on the other end of the vox degenerated into wails and screams that rose to unnatural, inhuman pitches. Then something struck the monster and its little blue master. Energy flared and cracked. The imp wailed with sudden terror, a split second before their flesh disintegrated, blown in great, gory gobbets across the room. Redblade stumbled, released from the sucking embrace of the thing infesting the vox banks. He knew there were few weapons in the galaxy that could have obliterated the hulking spawn and the blue weirdling with a single blow. And he knew the warrior wielding it.
You took your time, Lion Son.
Typically, Gidriel didn't reply. He plunged his power fist into the nearest fleshy growth, ripping clods of the shuddering meat and bursting black arteries from the choked machinery. Redblade pitched in with Fang, twisting and gouging, prizing the parasite away from its nest. He grunted as he stabbed at a tentacle lodged in a coolant valve.
Why did you come back?
Because you apologized. For Ugloth.
Redblade stopped with Fang thrust deep and rounded on Gidriel.
I did no such thing.
I know. Vox Tenebris. The technique we both learned from the Death Watch. Maintaining Vox transmissions at all times, but always testing who you speak with, probing their identity. You would never apologize. And it reminded me of Ugloth.
The memories returned. In that moment, Redblade felt fury kindle and flare inside him in a way he hadn't experienced for almost a century. Suddenly, he recalled what it had been like to be a young warrior, a feral killer, quick of limb and bright of eye. The faces of Clovis, Bray, and Carrick were clear in his thoughts, bloody and still in death. Torben, Wolf, Svensson, and Obba, and Yari and Sverri too. Gidriel was with him now, his face a familiar mask of grim, scarred determination, splattered and befouled by monstrous viscera. The screaming in Redblade's ear, shrilling over the voxnet, reached a painful pitch. Then, as the last squirming tentacle was hauled free, it cut off, like a channel that had been closed. The thing was scattered and smeared across the vox relay, twitching and steaming as it faded from reality. The communication banks, dripping with slime, were free. Gidriel locked his stormbolter and hit the overlay spike. The machinery shuddered and grated, but the transmission lights on the rune banks winked green. The Dark Angel snatched a voxhorn.
This is Brother Sergeant Gidriel to all Imperial forces in the vicinity of Morkai's Keep. Halt immediately. You are advancing into a trap. Repeat, it's a trap.
For a moment, there was only silence, not even the phantom haunting of static disrupting the awful stillness.
Brother Sergeant Gidriel. Please confirm.
The voice was that of Nezekiel.
The demon spawn were in the Vox system, brother. The first strike force has been all but annihilated. It was an ambush. We must regroup.
We are approaching the outer bastion now, Gidriel. There's no sign of any contact.
If you proceed, you will all die. Halt while we attempt to break through to you. If you do not hear from us again, commend us to our Primarchs and the Emperor, and consult with Master Belial.
After a moment, Nezekiel's reply crackled back.
Very well, honored Sergeant. Standing by.
Redblade wiped the filth from his blade.
You want to fight your way to the strike force from here? Through the layers of filth that infect this place?
Isn't that what you'd do? You really have grown old, Wolf.
And you were old when I met you, Lion Son. Given our state, how can we hope to see our brethren ever again?
For once, Gidriel smiled. Redblade went on, his tone becoming grave.
You didn't inform your brethren of the Wulfen.
The Dark Angel hesitated, but only for a moment.
They will discover them soon enough, I suspect. We will cleanse this place with fury and blood, and your stasis chamber will be unearthed.
You will not tell them of it beforehand?
I wear the honored plate of the Deathwing, Dren Redblade. I am adept at keeping secrets. Come, let us hunt together one more time. Back to the surface, the sons of the wolf and the lion, side by side.
Redblade nodded, unlocking Fobane and grinning.
In the name of Russ, L. Johnson, and the Allfather. Just try to keep up, eh?
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.